Exodus 20:12 is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, interestingly enough, you know, we see a change now in these in the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments were really between God and man. And now we're shifting gears, and the next six commandments are really between man and man. Now, in God's direction. But now it's about our relationship. And the particular relationship that's under consideration today is between us, all of us as children, and our mothers and our fathers. And so what does it mean, we're going to study about today, what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? And we're going to look at a couple other topics that kind of, I think, kind of touch on maybe some of the struggles that we have. And what does it mean? And are there situations to where, you know, that comes in conflict, honoring your mother and your father comes in conflict with God? So those are some of the questions that we're going to take a little bit closer look at today. So when you were growing up, do you remember rules that were in your house that you, to this day, you can remember that your mother and your father gave you as rules that you had to adhere to? Anybody want to share any of those?
Well, I wouldn't say it so much as a rule. And I think my mom knows where I'm going with this, but whenever Dad asked me to go do something, he'd tell me, no, come back, do it with a smile. Come back, do it with a smile. Okay. Even when it's like, okay, yeah, I'll go do it, not a problem. No, come back, do it with a smile.
Other examples?
Dinner was at
6. Dinner was at 6.
Yeah. And the street lights came on. Mm-hmm. So that was a rule, but as an adult, I realized it shifted with the season, so it was pretty, you know, whenever it got dark, you're supposed to come in. But it also put it on us.
Yeah. So I'd heard some people say that, you know, you come in when, you know, before the street lights come on. So that was always kind of a moving target when I heard that one. So yours was a little more explicit. Come in when they come on. So, yeah. Others?
The one that I remember first, I probably heard a lot of, and that was no back talking. You know, you weren't supposed to question. You were just supposed to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. No back talking, yeah.
Their rules changed with their moods, which was very difficult.
There was what?
Their rules changed with their moods.
Ah.
Which was very tough.
Yeah, let's remember that, because I think that's an important point. Surprise, surprise, our parents weren't perfect, were they? Yeah. With the exception of me, of course, you know. Since neither of my two kids are here right now, I can say that, you know, but you can validate it with them later. Yeah. Nick may have another opinion, yeah.
You're about 12.
Yeah.
Then
the
light bulbs start going on.
Yeah. That's an interesting statement too, isn't it?
Very much. I saw that with our kids.
Yeah.
A shift at that age.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many of you at the time thought the rules were kind of absurd?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Alexa, do you guys have rules today? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're a lot different now.
They are different today, aren't
because
they?
Because when we were growing up, there weren't cell phones, and I mean, I remember running around all over the neighborhood, and our favorite place to play was down by the railroad tracks. I mean, there was a big field there, and you know, so. Nowadays, you wouldn't dream to let your kids run that far.
Mm-hmm. My friends had different rules than I did.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah, that was kind of hard, especially when theirs were more liberal. Especially when they were rules that you know, you kind of wish that was the rule that your parents gave you.
Per se, but I always knew what the expectations were. But I don't remember my parents, they didn't have set curfew, didn't have any of those things. But I always knew what was expected of me, and I knew when I crossed that line.
Right.
I knew what the consequences were going to be.
Yeah, interesting statement. How many of you saw that there were consequences to all the rules that you said that you heard? Okay. How many of you, in looking back, thought that they were applied consistently, the rules?
Most of the time?
Consistently as far as you, or consistently among your siblings?
Or
between the parents.
Yeah. That's an interesting statement. Or between the parents. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would have one parent, whatever, and the other parent had to be the enforcer, so you never really pleased either. Even though it may be consistently that way.
So did anybody here ever, kind of play your parents against each other? Has that ever happened with you?
That wasn't a good idea.
Isn't that interesting, though, Nick? How quickly the human nature is you're going to kind of seek that get the answer that you want, and you start watching and trying to figure it out. Yeah.
My parents didn't think, well, go ask your mother, go ask your dad. Go ask. So you finally say, they said yes. Yeah. So, when they found out that they didn't actually say yes, there were those consequences, too.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at this video, and this video actually poses some questions that we haven't really talked about and that we're going to explore a little bit. So watch this.
There is an old joke that no one is from L.A. Millions of people come to the city. Some arriving chasing a dream. Some come running to get away. And just like a flight to LAX, seems everyone has plenty of checked baggage. Cheryl is on her way to her own personal baggage claim. Her granddaughter's second birthday party. It would be a happy occasion, with one exception. She wasn't invited. Everyone comes to LA with a dream. Cheryl's is to end a nightmare.
Give Lily her birthday present. I thought it might be nice if I delivered it in person. Michigan.
Mom?
Yeah?
Come back when all this is over.
Okay.
Sit down, Mom. Can I get you something to drink?
Oh, water, please.
I told Brad to take Lily out. Thought it'd be too much if she was here. So what do you want, Mom?
I want to see my granddaughter.
Okay. Why now?
Do I need a reason to see her?
You need a reason to see me. How much is it this time?
I don't expect you to forgive me.
No. You know, I can live with the fact that you were drunk at my prom, my college graduation, and my wedding. But the fact that you didn't even come to the hospital when I needed you?
Yeah, I am sorry for that.
I was literally begging you.
I didn't know.
You didn't ask.
I've stopped drinking. 6 months. I've got a job. Beauty salon. In Palmdale. I haven't missed a day of work.
What, do you want a medal from me?
It's different for me, and you know that.
Just tell me, what do you want?
I wasn't a good mother. I know that. But I can be a good grandmother if you'll give me the chance.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Lily, come here. Sweetie, I want you to meet somebody. This is Cheryl. It's your grandmother.
Honoring Mom and Dad. It brings different emotions to different people. For this young mom, trying to honor her mother, it must have been a challenge. And trying to honor imperfect people, it's not always easy. And maybe you know that feeling oh too well. As I think about my mom and dad, it should have been simple to honor them. I mean, I had a fun, loving, hardworking dad. I had like the sweetest mom any kid could want. But yet I missed the mark in honoring them. I probably did what most kids do. I thought they probably didn't know what they were talking about. Or I put these too high of expectations on top of them. Or if I was going to be real honest, I probably didn't even think about it. You see, in the fifth commandment, God, he switches the themes. In the first four, it's about honoring God. And now he goes to honoring people. Loving God and loving others. It's a theme of the commandments, but it's also a theme of the Bible. And we think about honoring God, we think, well, that's easy. To hold in high regard, to give them a place of esteem, that's easy to do to God. That's kind of a no-brainer. But the concept of trying to do the same thing for people, Now, that can be a little bit more challenging. And maybe it's because where people get it wrong, God, he got it right. God gave us the picture of a loving father in the Ten Commandments. You see, we've often looked at the Ten Commandments as a bunch of rules or these do's and don'ts. And if I do this and I follow this and I act this way, then I can make my way to God and I can be in relationship with him. But that's not exactly what God did, because God showed the Israelites that he already had relationship with them. He came out and said that you guys are mine. And he wanted to remind them that he was theirs. He reminded them that he was the great protector. He was the great provider. He was the one that was going to take care of them. See, God reminded them that they already have relationship. And once they had relationship, then God brought the rules, like any loving father would do for his children. It's this concept of you connect and then you direct. See, if you connect and you're not directing your kids, then they run wild. But if you don't connect and you only direct, then they rebel against you. See, with God, he had the perfect mix. You know, all of us, we wish our folks were different. We wish our parents had all the answers. We wish they did everything right. I know my kids, they wish that. But we're to honor our mom and dad. Maybe we honor them because of what they did for us. Maybe we honor them not because of what they did, but because God has called us to honor them. How can you honor your mom and dad? How can you honor them in the midst of their imperfection? Reminding yourself that nobody's perfect. Nobody's God.
How easy do you think it would have been for that new mom to honor her mom?
Not easy, but it is true. You can't move on from your bitterness. It's hurting yourself, not doing what God would have, and you do the right thing.
What's the shadow that the new mom was casting potentially for her young daughter? You think that there was potential for something there long term? Sure. I really like the statement. You know, it's easy to honor God, hold him in high honor and self-esteem because he's perfect. But we're not perfect. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? Can someone read Deuteronomy 5:16 for me?
Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Now this is a restatement of what was in Exodus that we read, 20:12, but there's a subtle difference there between the two. Does anybody see what it is? It's an addition. It's not different. It's an addition. No, that was in the first one. And that was in the first one. That was in the first one. There you go. That the Lord commanded you. So, let me ask this question. Is honoring your father or your mother predicated on their ability to do the right things, to have been the great parent? I think it's a really, really important point. I don't know that I'd fully considered. I mean, I think we look at all the commandments, and they're not optional. But God calls it out here in Deuteronomy. He commands us to do that. Let's go ahead and listen. We're going to listen to, before we continue our discussion, we're going to listen to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and then we're going to hear Proverbs 23, 22 through 25.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom, and instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice.
How do we honor moms and dads when they miss the mark? And what is, by the way, what is the definition of miss the mark? What's the other term that's used? Sin. Sin means, in the original language, miss the mark. So how do you honor someone who has missed the mark in your life? God commands us to do it. What's that? That's right. Yeah. We already established that when Kristen was out that I was perfect. Yeah. She wasn't here to...
There's not just one answer to that.
We're not supposed to judge. God is the person who is doing the judging. So
okay. If
we're respecting others, I mean, everybody has faults. Everybody sins, so we should be able to respect that fact.
There are circumstances under which, if it's unsafe or whatever, though, you can put a safe boundary there and still respect them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to put yourself in a position of getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a difference if you are 10 years old and 40 years old, too, as far as honoring your parents.
Tell me about that.
I mean, if you're 10, you are dependent upon your parents in a sense. And if they are really unsafe parents, you're in a really bad place. And that's a whole different discussion. But you pretty much don't have a real choice. I mean, you can be rebellious on the inside, or you can deal with constant consequences of being rebellious on the outside. But you have not the freedoms, and it's not as much a choice. Yes, it's a choice if you're a child, too, but there's a difference there. And if you're 40 and you are learning that your parents are not perfect, that's part of learning to accept your own imperfectness, and how they deal with that issue has an impact on us, too.
Other comments?
As an adult, though, too, it doesn't mean you have to obey your parents, too, back then. You know, it doesn't mean you have to do everything they want you to do to be respectful and to always make them happy. You need to live your life too, and you can respect their opinion, you can, you know, appreciate it, but that doesn't mean that you have to make the same choices and follow in their path to, quote, honor them and obey them in that way. I don't know.
Okay.
I said that right, but what else?
Yeah, no, I think it was clear.
I think accepting that's how they are, and you can't change them, and just wishing them well, but, you know, just, you know, that's the way they're going to be, and trying to work on yourself so you don't pass that anger and hate and meanness on the next generation, and moving across the country for us, too.
It does wonders.
Nothing personal there.
No.
Other observations?
I mean, if you have bad parents, or the bad parts of our parents that we all had, is you have to figure that most parents are doing the best that they can. And if you look back a generation, they're probably better parents than what they have. And I think that we see that as generations go, and I think we tend to be better parents in some ways, and then we leave off the things that we didn't like, which we, until too late, find the value in those things that we didn't earlier. So it's not an easy thing.
I think it also means, you know, helping to take care of your parents when they're to a point where they can't, you know, when they need help, and I think that's all part of honoring them. You know, as you get older, there's more stuff that you can do to honor them by helping them in, you know, whatever ways that they need help when they get to that point of needing help. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to honoring parents that goes way beyond just obeying your parents.
And that's one example. Other examples? Anything else come to your mind? Honoring them when they get older by, you know, helping them, making sure that their needs are met? Others?
First and foremost, how you work is supposed to honor God, and in honoring God, you honor your parents.
Ah. Great statement. So if we follow that principle that John just said, if we honoring God first, then does it change the equation with regard to how we would treat our parents despite where we think they may have missed the mark?
It should.
It should.
The standard on which we say where they missed the mark shouldn't be the line that we've drawn, but the line that God has drawn. Huh.
So the whole element of judgment, of judging whether or not they missed the mark or not, probably is not at our discretion. That's another interesting point too, isn't it?
When you're a kid or a teenager and you chafe under those rules that your parents have, later in life do you come to really appreciate them? And how much of that is actually being, you know, able to honor?
Now, that's an interesting question. How many of you, we talked initially about, you know, rules that you had growing up. How many of you, you know, having lived under the rules that your parents had, how many of them now looking back think that maybe these weren't such bad rules? How many of you have repeated
some of the rules that your parents had for you?
Especially those things that, you know, like I recall things that I was told as a child, and I always said, I'm never going to tell my child that. And then when you get to that point, you're like, okay, well, I guess there's just really nothing left to say. Like, yeah. The big question of why. To be in right now. You know, why? How come? You know, because I said so, and I swore up and down that I would never say that to my kid. But you know what? It gets to the point, you know, simple things that like that. You're like, just because I said, okay, that's just the bottom line. Let it go. You know, and you just, you know, after 10 minutes of answering why, you just give up and go, okay, I guess I get why they did that.
I don't ever remember doing
that. That's what happened.
But why? What about that, though? You know, it not only happens with behaviors we look back and think were good. Do we not also see that, unfortunately, that some of the behaviors that our parents, looking back, that, you know, maybe they're weren't the best? Do we not sometimes also begin to embrace those? So what does that say about the relationship?
The most powerful, probably.
Right.
One way or the other.
Can someone read Luke 1:17, please?
Also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
It's being talked about John the Baptist. It was talking about the prophecy of John the Baptist coming. And in that context, what does it say? Just read that one more time, Kristen.
He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Isn't that an interesting statement? To turn the hearts of who? The fathers to who? To the children. How does that come into that? Why would he make the statement? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What's implicit in that? Yeah, boy, I tell you, the nation Israel fell way apart from honoring. If you go back and culturally look at Israel, by the way, this is the only commandment that has a promise associated with it. Does anybody remember what that promise was? Yeah, your days might be long. Yeah, and then also there was something about the land. Okay. So what does that mean? What do you think the context of that means?
It's not that you're not, they don't kill you when you're young. Maybe that's probably not.
Okay. I think that if you go back and culturally look at the context back then, remember, at the point that these commandments were given, Israel had been given and told that they were going to go to the promised land. He had brought them out of bondage. His families, they moved on. You know, in our world today, it's not as easy for us to fully appreciate some of the things from a cultural standpoint of view. Back then, you know, it probably was single digits of the number of children who move farther than 5 miles or 2 miles or even 1 mile from their family. So the whole dynamic of relationships was totally different back in the time of the Lord. But it's a point, though, that is really important for us not to forget. You know, sometimes today we avoid relationships by moving. And I understand why that happens, okay? I do. But back then, there wasn't that many options to be there. And I think that what was being spoken to there was, it was about the relationships. The hierarchy of the family was such that you had generations living together. So when you talk about honoring your father and mother, and you talk about, and you brought a great point up, honoring, you know, your parents when they get older. You know, I don't think we do a very good job in this country of honoring our seniors. Well, that's a global statement, but when you personalize it, that means we're not doing a very good job of honoring our mothers and our fathers, doesn't it? If we just drill down just that far. And one of the things that I really, really liked about this is that the statement that when God gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, did he already have a relationship with them? Absolutely, because he said, I have chosen you. He had a relationship with them. And those Ten Commandments was, we've talked before, were his bond and covenant of love between him and the children of Israel. In the same way that he values and covets that relationship between us and him today. And remember what they said. I really love this, and I hadn't ever thought before. Maybe it's something that you all just kind of, you know, what? Yeah, duh, I've heard that. But when he talked about the fact, if you connect, then you direct. If you connect and you are not directing your kids, then they run wild. If you're just directing your kids and you have no relationship with them at all, no limits, no boundaries, you really don't have a relationship with them, do you? See, that's the thing I love about the Ten Commandments, because they are about relationship. We want to use them as a checklist, though. We want to say, okay, I'm pretty good. But it's really about relationships. And if you don't connect and you only direct, what will they do? Rebel. Connect versus direct. You've got to do both. And who set the example for us? God, our Heavenly Father. He set the example for us. Did He honor us? Does God honor us? It's an interesting comment or question, isn't it? By example, if you look at Christ and how He treated people, if it's about relationships, did God hold us accountable for our actions and our choices? That's not easy, is it? The principle that said God says that you know, you forgive people 70 times 7, well, how does that fall into this honoring your mom and your dad? Does that mean that every time your mom or your dad does something wrong and misses the mark, you say, I forgive you, and things are okay? People use that sometimes, you know, to try and establish a relationship or have you, what's that? Force a relationship, yeah. But is that a biblical principle? What's missing in that statement about forgiving people? Reconciliation and accountability. Accountability is so important. There's accountabilities for the choices that we make as parents, as individuals, and sometimes those accountabilities mean that our relationship, and there's certain privileges in a relationship we may not have access to. But that doesn't mean, that doesn't give us, as children, it doesn't give us the privilege to be able to abandon that relationship. And sometimes we, by our choices and our actions, we abandon a relationship and we justify a difficult situation by saying, we hide and we hurl. Remember we talked about that principle? So in the movie, can you identify with how the daughter might have felt? What's that?
And with how the mother might have felt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How do you think the mother felt?
Vulnerable.
There was a broken heart.
Remorseful. Broken.
Remorseful.
Ashamed.
Shame. Wow. What's that sound like? When a person comes under conviction, what do? Like a broken heart. Contrite. Repent. What does the term repent mean? To turn. Turn around. Go the opposite direction. So how difficult did that make it for that daughter? Did she end up doing the right thing? What did she do?
She introduced her daughter to her grandmother.
Not an easy question. And probably she did the right thing there, but where does it go from
where
there?
Does it go?
It's going to be a real responsibility.
Yeah.
As a mom herself, the protecting the daughter from the things she suffered from her mom, being willing to put her daughter at risk to experience some of the same things had to be weighing on her mind.
Right.
As probably more so even than the lack of forgiveness for her own. How do I protect my child from this woman who was so harmful to me?
Right.
And that's where you choose your moments of contact. You can try to slowly and try to regain trust.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, as children grow, they figure things out without you saying a word.
it truly is about relationships. And relationships don't happen automatically. They are broken in an instant, and they take a lifetime to construct. With the exception of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, who's his side's always perfect. And he's always there to forgive us and always to be there to walk and take the next step if we look to him. In this particular case, and the statement was really made, I mean, would you have suggested to that young mom that the next Saturday that it's okay to have your child go spend the weekend? Exactly. In the same way that our Heavenly Father creates boundaries for us, we're on the receiving end from our parents and our Heavenly Father those boundaries. And those boundaries are very consistent, but those boundaries change based on the choices that we make, the flexibility of those boundaries. Because of the consequences around those. We cannot put people at harm. We can't put our children at harm. And we have to protect ourselves in relationships with other individuals, with our loved ones, our parents. And that's not easy. Because human nature being what it is, what do we typically want to do when we want to focus off ourselves? And we've talked about hiding and hurling. What does hurling look like in a situation of a relationship between mothers and fathers and children? Guilt. Guilt is one of the big ones. You owe it to me. Look what I've done for you. You need to take care of me. It's not easy. It's not an easy topic. But does God, remember when we read there in Deuteronomy the 5th chapter, it says that he commands us to honor our mother and our father. That's a tough one. He calls it out. What happens in Matthew 10:35? What happens when trying to honor our mother and our father comes in conflict with our relationship with God? Does that happen? It fractures. But what's our obligation? Follow God.
It doesn't mean parents do that. They may not understand the choice.
And how often have we heard the examples given, at least I have in my lifetime? I've heard of not only in parents in honoring father and mother, but just in relationships, people trying to use our relationship with God to guilt me into making the right choices or to do certain things for them. And that's not biblical. So what does 10:35 say? Does anybody have that? Well, you got to read that whole context there. And I really would invite you to do that. Because taken at face value, that can be taken out of context. But the principle really is our priority is to God, the Father. And when Christ came, why did he make the statement that he wasn't come to give peace, to establish peace? He came and that there would be these divisions. Why did he do that? Why did he say that? Because he came to establish and have a relationship with us. And he's talking about an eternal relationship. And that priority and that focus and making that number one in our life. Remember, what does Solomon say in the book of Ecclesiastes that the priorities in our life should be? What's the first? Second? Family. And third is work. That's biblical. And I've seen situations where people will make God number two or number three. And it's about family. And how often do you hear people say, my priorities are my family and my work, in that order? A lot of times you don't even hear the term faith, God. So we have an awful lot to reflect upon as individuals when we talk about honoring our father and our mothers.
Relationship with our parents and with our children to avoid our relationship with God. And
right. We
excuse our bad behavior because of our parents or because of some other relationship. And we all, I think that's why God stressed the importance, because we don't allow it to be in our excuse.
And that's why, you know, Christianity today, and I know our time is up, but Christianity today has become about picking and choosing. It's become a cafeteria menu of what things we want to embrace. But God tells us to declare what part of the counsel of God? The whole counsel of God. He tells us to look at the breadth of what His instruction is in the Bible. And we want to pick and choose what's convenient for us that makes us, into the term situational ethics, what well, really applies in honoring mothers and fathers. We could have more than one lesson on this. There's a lot here. But hopefully you get the flavor that there's the richness of honoring your father and your mother is really, really deep. It's between us and our Heavenly Father. It's between us and each other. It also touches, though, really that relationship between mother and father and child. But remember this, that the example that we set, and we read it there in Luke, that when a nation abandons its responsibility as parents, we set ourselves on a course and a direction. And we saw that. God gave us the benefit of seeing that through the eyes of Israel as a nation. And we see that consequences of that happening in our world today, which is sad. So, the challenge to us is, how do we honor our parents today? How do we honor them in the future? And what example do we set as parents for our children that ensures that from generation to generation that honor continues? Okay. Thanks, everybody.